Welcome to More Than Meets the Mom, where two moms of three find strength in the chaos and redefine motherhood as the start of something greater. We're here to empower each other and you to prioritize wellness, embrace the messy moments, and discover the power that comes from taking care of ourselves while raising our families. Because motherhood isn't the end of who we are, it's the beginning of something extraordinary. Join us as we dive into real conversations about self-care, mindset, and the journey to becoming our strongest, most confident selves inside and out.
I love you!
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mommy.
All right, mamas, we've got a hot topic for you today, for moms or dads, just parents in general. And this is something you might find yourself in the middle of this season right now, or you're going to think back to periods of time where you were in the season or the anticipation of possibly being in this season again. And this is the season of navigating sleep with kids. We're here coming at you because we're in the midst of this season of life. And, you know, I think one of the things for myself is that I knew that the newborn stage was going to be challenging when it came to sleep. But I think the thing that got me through was the idea that once we got through it, then the kids would sleep so well and it would be a thing of the past. But what we're finding is that even with a 9, an 8, a 5, 2-year-olds, all the age ranges, we're experiencing different challenges when it comes to sleep, some that maybe we anticipated and others that we didn't. And Becca and I have just been reflecting on how hard it's been to show up as moms because of the sleep deprivation and what we're experiencing. So we want to come here and just talk about our own experiences and normalize sleep and motherhood and the challenges that come with it, and then hopefully give you something that's tangible that can inspire some hope for yourself if you're in the midst of this season right now, to be able to help you recharge and get through it so that way you can feel that you have something to hold on to in the midst of the challenges of sleepless nights.
Yeah, sleepless nights are rough. And no matter what stage or season, it hits hard. And we just want to come here and open up about the reality of it at different stages. Like Kristen said, whether you got newborns and it was like, okay, I know I'm not going to sleep. Or you've got the 4-month sleep regression.
Oh, that was the worst for me.
See, we still remember that. But I believe there's like an 8-month sleep regression, a 10-month, an 18-month. I'm literally over here the other night Googling, when is the 7-year-old sleep regression? Is that normal? Because we are in a really different sleep pattern right now that is not only leaving me exhausted, but also kind of confused and stumping me as I'm trying to figure out, how can I get better sleep?
And how long is this going to last?
Yeah, because I know that for me, I get a lot of anxiety around that moment of falling asleep, going to bed, not knowing what the night is going to look like, not knowing how many nights I'm going to have my kid in my bed or wake up to screaming. It's not only the lack of sleep and how I feel in the morning, but my emotions as I'm anticipating the night. I don't know if you can relate to that anxiety as you approach sleep.
You know, I don't feel the anxiety as I'm approaching sleep. I think I put it out of my mind and tell myself I'm going to have a wonderful night's sleep. But here's the thing that I do struggle with is that I go to sleep and I'm like, I'm going to have a great night. And then once a kid wakes me up in the middle of the night, it's like, watch out, give mom a little bit of space. Who is waking me up? How dare you interrupt my sleep? And I say that with some humor, but also like that's how I feel internally of like, oh my gosh, I didn't anticipate this. This is not what I expected. And now here we are. Let me like get a grip on things so that way I can show up with some compassion for whatever is going on right now.
I love hearing that because there is that balance of like, okay, do I push this away? And, you know, I say goodnight to my kid, like, I will see you in the morning. Or like me, where I'm like, okay, I'll probably see you in an hour. But either way, learning that this is a really normal part of motherhood, part of your kid's development, and that it's not going to last forever is helpful as you're navigating it. So I was reflecting back to when my oldest was a newborn, and between newborn and 7 months old, he was up, I don't know, 4 to 7 times a night, and I had all my friends whose kids were already sleeping, and I was that angry mom and anxious mom that was tired, and that he was my first. So I thought it was never going to end. And that, I mean, that is really depressing. It just sucks the life out of you to think that your sleeplessness is never going to end. And now I'm here with him, and he's 7 years old. And after he was little, he became our best sleeper. Like, you put him to bed, you say goodnight, no matter what, that kid is staying in his bed until 2 weeks ago. And we had a pretty alarming incident. I mean, everything was fine, where he sleepwalked for the first time. We woke up to Morgan and Jackson screaming bloody murder. We had no idea what happened. Came out. Jackson had walked into Morgan's room unknowingly, got in bed with her, obviously freaked her the heck out. She pushes him out of bed. He's totally spooked because how the heck did I get here? And now he's having a lot of trouble falling asleep with that anxiety and that anticipation of, am I going to have a nightmare? Am I going to sleepwalk? Like, what's going to happen? Anyways, I was just reflecting with Kristen that here I am 7 years later from that anxiety that I had with him as a newborn, and I'm able to approach him with a lot more compassion and a lot less, like, anger. I hate to say that I had anger towards a baby, yeah, but, you know, we all do.
Just being
and,
real.
Yeah, keeping it real. And instead of being like, you better stay in your bed, or, you know, whatever that looks like, being able to hug him and say, it's not going to be like this forever. You are so normal. Like, your brain is developing. You're processing something right now. Mom is here for you. I'm going to help you. My bed is available. But if you want to stay in your bed, let's work on some tools to help you stay. We've been doing breath work every night. We got him a little remote for his light so he could turn his light on. They haven't worked yet. He was in our bed last night. But I'm just able to look at it from a different lens and zoom out a bit.
I love that. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast, I might have shared this before, from a licensed psychologist, a medical doctor, he's both, and he was sharing how, as parents, one of the best things that we can do for our kids is to be able to meet them where they're at, validate, but then also help give them perspective. And so as a kid, they see very black or white. So for Jackson, of, you know, having this difficulty sleeping, being fearful of it, his brain is taking in information of, I didn't sleep well the last 2 weeks, thus it's going to be like this possibly forever. It's really easy for us as humans, as moms, to fall into that as well. But you taking that beat to be able to give him perspective of, it won't be like this forever. You are a great sleeper. We're going to get back to that. Here are some tools that are going to help you in the process. And zooming out, instead of having this under this magnifying glass where it's all consuming and this is all you think about and this is what derails your days, that zooming out perspective is so powerful.
Absolutely. And I want to say, like, it's not perfect. Like, I work towards that, but it still is consuming. I'm exhausted. I haven't worked out in several days because my kid's in my bed and there are a lot of stressors and a lot of difficult feelings and emotions that I'm navigating while I'm sleepless. I'm just trying to also hold on to that fact that at the end of the day, whether I'm sleepless or not, I want to show up as the best mom that I can for him, for me, to be able to get through it. And so I'm exhausted. Like, I'm not going to downplay that. And there are ways that I am not showing up as my best self.
Yeah. And, you know, I know so many of you moms listening in can relate to this because I've talked to so many friends, family members that are going through difficulty with their kids' sleep. And, you know, the thing that I think is important to emphasize in all of this is that you are saying, I'm not able to work out, I'm not able to do these things. Here's the thing is that when we sleep, our amygdala, the emotional part of our brain, recharges. When we sleep, our brain processes emotions, it strengthens memory, it helps us regulate the stress hormone cortisol. So if you're not getting enough sleep, I think about it like a phone, right? At night, you go and you plug your phone into the charger and it charges overnight. And then when you go to use it in the morning, it has full battery. It's oftentimes operates a lot faster. You don't have to worry about it. You don't even have to give it a second thought. And if we think about ourselves, our brain in that way, is that sleep is that charger for us. And if we're getting disrupted sleep and then we wake up and we're on low energy mode, we're going to be more reactive. We're going to be more lethargic. We're not going to have the bandwidth to be able to show up as the moms we want to be. And that's oftentimes when mom guilt comes into play as well. Mm-hmm. We're more reactive for our kids. We say and do things that we later on regret. And so I think it's so important to recognize this, that if you are saying things, doing things, having a difficult time, having the emotional bandwidth to show up as a mom or show up for your kids, that's normal if you're not getting enough sleep. Now, there's so much research out there of like what you can do to try to optimize sleep or to help your kids with sleep, but that's not what we're necessarily coming here to talk to you, because there is that research, but we just want to normalize like this is a part of being a mom. As challenging as it is, that these sleepless nights are going to happen, and sometimes knowing that you're not alone can make such a big difference. As Becca's telling me about her sleepless nights, I'm like, oh gosh, me too. Okay, you're not functioning at full capacity. I'm not either. I'm not the only one. That sometimes feels good. And what's really cool about how Becca operates is that we don't just sit there and stay stuck in just all the negativity around all the challenges. We both are like, okay, what are you doing? How are you showing up? Oh my gosh, you're trying that with him. Oh, that's incredible. Or this won't last forever. All of these types of shifts are so impactful to be able to, again, zoom out the focus and be able to keep moving forward.
Oh yeah, because I know other times when I didn't have a relationship to help me zoom out or other mamas around to help me not feel alone in it, I was so isolated and it took over my whole life in a really negative way. Okay, we are gonna have sleepless nights. There's no getting around it. Sleepless weeks, sleepless months. I mean, it is, motherhood is brutal, okay? But what can we do to feel better? And that's how we like to approach life, is like, what are the things that we can control? What is realistic, reasonable, and will have an impact in our life? And so during these seasons where sleep is scarce, because it's going to be, especially for us mamas, right? What can we do?
Right. And here are, so Becca and I have been reflecting of like, okay, we're not coming at them with, you know, how do you get to sleep faster or sleep through the night? But recognizing sleepless nights are going to happen, you need a survival guide. How do you get through the next day after having a sleepless night? So here are 5 survival tips for a sleep-deprived mom. Are you ready for it? Number 1, hydrate first thing in the morning. Dehydration makes fatigue worse. So if you can wake up in the morning, pour yourself a glass of water, take a moment to take a deep breath, drink that water, hydrate your body. That is doing something good for you, for your body, and it can help you get that kickstart that you need to be able to show up. Becca, number 2.
So not drink coffee right away.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, that's not going to be the best, especially if you're thinking of cortisol levels, the stress hormone that can really disrupt that aspect of things. So yeah, try to go for the water first.
Yeah, not no coffee. Just get that glass of water first. So the second thing is fuel your body with protein and healthy fat. This can stabilize your blood sugar and your energy. I know my body is especially sensitive to this as I've been doing the hormone health program. I don't know if y'all been listening about it, but I've been really focusing on starting my day with fuel. I used to rush out of the house, eat my kids' leftovers, eat nothing, and find myself feeling so fatigued. Mm-hmm. But when I carve out the time and space, and it's not the easiest thing to do, like you got to put some effort into this, to eat some fuel for your body, eat something that's going to leave you feeling energized, it makes a really big difference.
And let me just say, it is much more convenient to run through a drive-thru or to grab a sugary donut or something else that's going to give you that quick energy. That's fast. It gives you that hit of energy. But I encourage you to just take a moment to slow down, because I've been trying to be more mindful of this, is that if I'm going to eat a donut in the morning, I check in, like, what is this doing to my body? And what I have found is that I crash hard, where I am more irritable and frustrated, and then I go for all the sugary things throughout the day, and it's just like perpetuating this feeling that I have, versus, like you had said, of having some protein, having some healthy fats. Number 3 is get sunlight early in the day. Now, this is going to be different for everyone depending on where you live. If you're in Arizona like we are, we've had a beautiful winter, and so this is something that we can prioritize. But getting outside, this signals to your body a reset to its natural rhythm. I mean, I have said for years that I get outside for a mood booster. Fresh air and sunshine does the body, does the mind so well. To be able to just step outside, I think too, is that when I'm in my house contained by these 4 walls, everything feels heightened versus getting outside, maybe getting some movement in, getting the kids outside. It is a shift in our moods that we all need, and it really sets us up for the rest of the day.
Absolutely. And I know when I get home, I like to stay home. Or when I wake up, I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. My brain likes, it's a homebody. I like to do that.
Same.
But the reality is that, like, it is a really simple shift to just go outside for a moment, and it can have a really big impact. So the fourth one is take mindful breaks. And even just 5 minutes of deep breathing can really help you recharge. And I've just started this breathing app that helps. In fact, I do it with Jackson at night now, and he's been loving it. And 5 minutes, I feel like I'm melting into my bed. Like, the feeling, I've done acupuncture before, and when they poke you with all the needles and leave, and you just sink into the table, it's an I thought it was an unmatched feeling. Turns out, 5 minutes of a breathing pattern, like, you know, 4 seconds inhale, hold it for 6 seconds, 8 second exhale. Right there. Do that for 5 minutes. It will change your life.
You know, and I think that sometimes my mind goes to, like, that's so simple. Like, is it really going to have that big of a difference? It does. When our cells get that oxygen replenished that we need, we think more clearly. And so 5 minutes of deep breathing can help our logical mind come back on board. And it's like, oh, is that really a big deal what my kids just did? Because 5 minutes ago, I felt like it was a huge deal and the whole world was ending. And now it's like, oh, it's really not that big of a deal. I'm more regulated. I can navigate motherhood, life, daily living with more ease. And the fifth tip for surviving the day with little sleep is to give yourself grace. It's okay to slow down. It's okay to adjust expectations. We had a whole episode about expectations. On those days where you just feel like you're dragging, that you have the low energy, because it is going to pass. It's not going to last forever. Sleep is a season. It's not a permanent struggle, and you will get more sleep. Sometimes it lasts a little bit longer than others, but when you can, take that time to recharge, to do these 5 things on a daily basis, it can make such a big difference.
So we'd love for you guys to try these out, these simple shifts that can have an impact on your day. And when you do, go to More Than Meets the Mom on Instagram and let us know how it works for you, which ones you enjoy, which ones you're going to keep doing, and tell your mama friends about it, because it really does take a village.
Yeah. And if you have a mom friend that you're thinking of that you're like, oh yeah, we've definitely talked about the sleepless nights, or I know that we're both in this together, we're both struggling, send this to them right now. Give them the opportunity to know that they're not alone, that there's things that we can do with each day, and that they can zoom out that scope and be able to have more bandwidth to be able to show up in each moment, because they are doing a dang good job, and so are you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow moms who might need a reminder that they too are allowed to feel confident in motherhood. Follow us on Instagram at More Than Meets the Mom for more inspiration. See you next time.
I love you.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mommy.